The It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Welcome to It's Time for Coffee. I'm Jeanette Tapley, your host and internet bestie. Here on It's Time for Coffee, we will help each other find joy, sisterhood, and lasting friendship. We are all about Bible-based love and teachings to help us grow into the friends we long to be and to nourish the relationships that we already have. Now, I'm not a theologian or a Bible scholar. I'm just your pal, Jeanette, here to help you and encourage you. Join me each week as we sit down with a friend to be encouraged and reminded that we are heard, valued, and never alone, no matter what season we find ourselves in. So grab your cup, fill it up, because friend, it's time for coffee. Hey friends, I'm so excited. We're sitting down with Amy Weatherly and Jess Johnston of I'll Be There, But I'll Be Wearing Sweatpants. And this is a book all about friendship. And I'm just excited because there's a lot more books about friendship coming out right now. And as someone who has a book about friendship being shopped around, like publishing houses, I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing? Like, what, I just think coming out of the pandemic and everything, it's interesting that I'm seeing so many more books about this coming out. So, Amy, Jess, welcome to It's Time for Coffee. Thank you for joining us here.
Thank you for having us.
I need to know, are you drinking anything? Are you having coffee while we're hanging out this afternoon?
Okay, well, you're about to open a can of worms because please. I am a coffee connoisseur. Mm. I was actually barista for 15 years. So I have all kinds of feelings about my coffee. But listen, this is the best drink. It's a quad iced espresso. Quad iced espresso with caramel sauce and a splash of half and half, lots of ice. And that is my jam.
Yeah, but make sure your heart's in a good place.
A good place. I know it's over the top, but when you start drinking coffee at 16, 17, you just kind of like, you just keep adding to it and getting more picky.
It's true. Amy, do you drink coffee?
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to say something that's not, it's, I don't know how it's going to land, but I'm not a big coffee drinker. I go out, I get coffee with my friends once a week. But I'm really just there for my friends. I'm really not there for the coffee. Like, otherwise, I don't drink it. I just don't drink it.
I've had friendships like that, too.
Dr. Pepper, though.
I love Diet Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
So when we're together, we have our situation figured out. We have, like, Diet Dr. Pepper for Amy in the morning, and then I have to do the Starbucks thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love sweet tea. Like, there, you know, I'm in Texas, so we've got, like, sweet tea drive-through places. With like flavored sweet teas, and you can mix them all up, and they've got like, I mean, 40 different flavors of tea. So I do love that too. So I love caffeine. I just coffee. I'm like, eh.
That's fine. I love it when people like equate having like their morning soda to coffee, because I think it's the same thing. We all need that little boost. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't care how you get it. Get your caffeine.
We don't have to have caffeine. It's fine.
It's fine. If you want to live a sad, tired life, don't you don't caffeine. Have to have caffeine. Just kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. I have lots of friends that don't have any caffeine at all.
I have friends who like, they're like,
that was a lie. I have one friend that doesn't have any caffeine at all.
I have friends who are like, it's really not that great for you, Jeanette. You should stop drinking so much caffeine. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I guess we're not friends anymore.
I know.
Why do you hate me?
I know.
Yeah. Are we breaking up? So, okay. You guys wrote a whole book about friendship, and I want to know real quick how the two of you met and then what spurred on this book, because it's a really beautiful book.
Thank you.
So this is Amy. I was a fan of Jess. I followed her blog. We knew who each other were through an online community, I guess, where we wrote for the same page. We're kind of in the same group together. So we knew who each other was. Were. We knew who each other were. We knew who was. What's right?
I think were.
I don't know.
We're all writers, but we don't know.
We had editors, and this is
why. That's why we have editors.
I don't know.
I think it's were. We knew who each other were.
We knew who each other were. It doesn't feel right.
But we knew who each other was doesn't sound right either.
So we knew of each other. We knew of each other.
There you go. Right.
But I don't know. I felt like this pull to Jess. I can't even explain it. I just felt a pull to her. So I sent her a message and I was like, hey, I like what you do. I like the way you write. We have similar writing styles and kind of similar approaches. And I could feel that those vibes coming off of Jess's page. It was like off of her Facebook page. I was just smacked with it. And I was like, I think you hear it. So I sent her a message and I told her so. And then the conversation went from there. And then we went from Instagram messages to phone calls. And then I had this weird idea in the middle, out of the middle of nowhere. And it was before the pandemic, to start a page that was all about friendship, and called up Jess one day and she was like, yes, I'm all in. Let's start a page all about friendship. So that was it.
That was the story.
That's the story.
That's so good. And now you guys have a whole book about friendship. This is my question for you. I have many questions for you because I get to interview you. Talking and speaking about friendship, do you feel like it puts more weight on your friendships? Like, for example, we just walked through a pretty rough situation within our small group. And as someone who loves and preaches friendship, to walk through a friendship failure or breakup was like, God, why are you doing this? Like, I've blamed God many times already in our conversation. I don't normally do this, guys. But I'm like as someone who cares so deeply for friendship, and then to have your friendships kind of put on blast, I'm like, ugh. So do you feel pressure within your relationships when you talk about friendship?
I think I try and come from the perspective of that we are not a single one of us is going to be perfect at friendship. It's about showing up, and it's about being intentional, and it's about trying. Mm-hmm. So I try to come from the angle of I care deeply about this.
Yeah.
But we're all just figuring it out. And life, you know, there's hard life stuff that comes up, and there's hard situations, and we just have to lean into God and to lean into caring, I guess, and loving and making it a priority to maneuver that. So I just think it's always going to be complicated. That's the unfortunate part. I think we would like to become friends with someone and be like, okay, sign on this dotted line. We are going to be friends forever and it's never going to be hard, you know, but it's just not a thing. We're humans and we can choose each other again and again and again. But outside of that, there are no guarantees. And sometimes life just leads you separate directions. There's just all kinds of things that can come up that are just hard.
Yeah.
So, and we're not, we definitely don't claim to be beyond that.
I do. I claim to be perfect.
No, I'm just kidding. Just like, we'll talk after this.
No, I've set up and I'm so grateful that my whole premise is showing up as a real messy person, and that I never ever once have tried to present myself as someone who has it all together, because I do think if I'd done that, then maintaining that would be a lot of pressure. But I've just always said from day one that I was writing that either I'd show up fully as myself or I wouldn't show up as all at all. So I think that's been some of the pressure off me. But I have noticed there are some other people in my life who have expected perfection from me. And they're like, well, you're the one, you write about friendship all the time. And I was like, okay, that doesn't mean that I can read your mind. And I will never disappoint you, because whatever, like, there was like an acquaintance that I had and I really cared about her. She's wonderful, beautiful, but like we didn't have a lot of things in common. Like our lives were very different. And so I would check in with her every once in a while and say, hey, well, it turned out she was going through a lot and I had no idea. And then she was like, I just can't believe that like you claim to be this friendship expert. And it's just, anyways, and she was really hurt. And I was like, but I didn't know. I'm still a person. I couldn't read your mind. You never told me what you were going through. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know how I could have helped you, you know?
Yeah.
Without knowing. Yeah. Like, without knowing, if I know, then I can support you. But
yeah, I was not ignoring you. I didn't know.
Yeah. And also, I think our big thing is like to empower others to create this in their own life. Because I think a lot of times too, people hyper-focus on us and they're like, oh, you, I connect with you and I'm going to be best friends with you. But we also have limitations and we only have so many people in our life that we can give to. Mm-hmm. So.
And we pour out a lot to the internet and that is a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so.
That's very true. Yeah.
And I think that like, so having those like in-person sweet friendships that like, those are the people I pour into, that circle is even getting smaller as we walk through some hard stuff as a family. Like it's like the circle kind of shrinks because I know my capacity of like who I can really pour in and out of. And sometimes it does leave people being like, well, you care so much about friendship, but you're being a bad friend. And it's like, I don't want to like be mean here, but like, you're kind of actually being a bad friend to me first. Sorry.
Well, I'm trying to think what chapter it is in. Maybe chapter 8. I don't know. But I think it's chapter 8 where we kind of talk about how there's a theory, like a research that's also been like proven that we can only handle so many friendships. And that was a very hard thing for me because I spent my entire life thinking it was my job as someone who loved Jesus. It was my job not to love people, but to be best friends with everyone. Because if I couldn't be your best friend, I was falling short and I wasn't loving them. So it really took me until recently to realize, Amy, you cannot be anyone's savior. You stop thinking so much of yourself, like take it down a notch, girl. You are a human. So you can have a couple of really, really good friends, but you are not capable of being best friends with 50 people. And also 50 people honestly don't want to be my best friend. Like there's not that many people like trying to be my friend. But I felt like if I knew you, it was my job to like really like I wanted to be your best friend. And it took until I got older, like, no, Amy, it doesn't. There are limitations. There's only so much you can do. There are only so many places you can show up. So be really, 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 really good to a few. Love everybody, but be really, 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 really good for a few. You know, I sort of in the book, I use the analogy of holding up a ruler. So if you hold up a ruler horizontally, the number is going to be big, but it's going to be pretty shallow. You know, it's only going to be 1 inch deep. Mm. It's going to be a lot of numbers. But if you flip that, it's going to be pretty small across the top, but it's going to be deep. So you kind of have to choose there. Do you want to have a lot of friends where it doesn't go very deep? Or do you want to have just a couple where you're really like in life together?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. We just, I guess it was like last year. I feel like this last year has gone by so fast. We started hosting a small group at our church. And our biggest thing was like, we're just going to show up. We're just like, well, we're not showing up. We're opening our doors, like show up to our house. That same week we started hosting a small group. My husband took off all of our kitchen cabinets and started painting our cabinets. Well, if your cabinets aren't open, like if you don't live with open shelving, those things are covered for a reason. Like, so people are coming into our home and I'm like, I feel like my house is walking around with its bra off right now. This is embarrassing. Like, this is hard. So let's talk about just showing up and inviting people in. Like, what does that look like on a practical level? Like just inviting people in and saying like, hey, my house is never going to be perfectly clean because people live here.
Yes. Well, I think
go ahead. No, please go ahead. That's a question.
I think about what you want. Do you want to be invited into somebody's house? It's absolutely perfect. And you're going to be perfectly entertained. Like, you can go to a restaurant for that.
Yeah.
But, or do you want to connect with people on a deeper level? And that's something that I definitely had to get past. Like, I had to get past overthinking it and being like, I need to give people this amazing, beautiful experience or whatever. And oh my gosh, my house isn't enough. My food's not enough, all that. And I just realized that the people, and also the people that I want to connect with, are totally good with paper plates and, and a mess in real life. Like, I'm honored to be invited into somebody's real life. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are honored to be invited into mine.
Yeah, I think that's good. Amy, what about you? How do you, like, how do you walk that out in a really practical sense?
Well, the same thing of just sort of, I finally had to come to a place, like, I tried really hard for a long time to be perfect. I tried really, really hard for a long time to just be who I thought everybody expected me to be and who everybody wanted me to be. And I tried really hard, and I eventually got tired. And that was just it. I got tired, and I realized that wasn't the image that I wanted. That's not what I wanted people to know of me and how they wanted to know me or think about me. So I sort of like went through this entire undoing phase, and I was like, okay, filters off, makeup off, pretense off. Like, if I'm going to be myself, I'm going to be myself. And if I'm going to invite people in, it's going to be me. And, you know, just sort of having to say, like, my house is never going to be perfect. That's not the life that I live. My house is never going to be perfect. But this is where I live. This is my home. Mm-hmm. This is my happy, happy, happy space, you know? So just kind of like Jess said, of really realizing, like, when I invite people in, it's a gift. It's a gift. And I'm letting them see this is my life, and sort of accepting that and accepting myself enough to say, you can take it or leave it, but I can't live my whole life trying to impress other people. I just can't do it. And just being okay with that.
As an Enneagram type 9, I tend to like stuff feelings until like the earthquake starts rumbling and the volcano explodes. And then there's people's, you know, like friendships everywhere. And it's like, oh, shoot, sorry. I should have stood up for myself earlier. I should have been myself more authentically from the get-go. And so, yeah, Amy, you're like, me too. You just suppress. Oh, it's a rough time.
I'm married to a nine.
So
yeah.
To get it. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm a 9 with an 8 wing. So it's like two different people, like, all the time. Like, I've got the one that's like, Amy, be quiet and gentle and do not rock the boat. And then I've got that other side of me that's like, let's flip some tables. And I was like, I'll flip a table. And then like, within 5 minutes, I'm like going over there and trying to clean up the mess that I made. Cause I said too much, or I was too honest, and I felt like I came off too harsh or something. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, hang on, let me clean this up. Hang on. I really am a nice person, I promise.
So how does that affect your friendships? How do you authentically walk in both of those things and just hope and pray that there's no I can't think of the word, that you're not hurting people in the wake of it?
I mean, I care a lot about people's feelings. I do genuinely care a lot about people's feelings. So I never want to hurt people's feelings. So I have gotten to a place where, like, if I'm speaking the truth with an abundance of love, like if I have to tell you the truth, because there are times in a good friendship where it's time to tell the truth, and that's not easy to hear. And I know the other person doesn't necessarily want to hear it. But to me, if you really love someone, you tell them the truth, the hard truth, the messy truth.
Yeah.
You may not like this, but this is for you. This is for your good. Because I care more about that person and their life than I do about maintaining some kind of fake relationship between us, you know?
Yeah.
So I always, if I'm coming at them and I do have to be honest and kind of tell them the truth, I go overboard to do it with love, and I go overboard to do it with grace. And sometimes, you know, it's just not what the person wanted to hear, but I have to sleep well at night. No, like, no, your heart really was pure. And, you know, I haven't had too many problems with that, honestly, because I do go overboard. But my friends, like, I only have a few really, 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 really good friends, and they know me very well. So they can, like, I'll like show up that day and say something. They're like, oh, Amy's 8 wing is flapping. It is flapping today. Like, they have emotion that they do, and they're like, oh, that 8 wing is flapping.
That's so good. That's so funny. It's so true, because I'm like, please know my heart. That's how I was. I'm like, please know my heart and know that I love you. And know, and then there's like that long preface of like, I love you so much. So this is a hard thing to say. But it is. It's the overabundance and like kindness that is always there.
Yeah.
One of the questions I get asked as someone who loves friendship is, well, first of all, one of the things I hear a lot, and I try to like shut it down because I feel like the verbiage we use is really important, but I hear all the time, adult friendships are just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are so hard. They really are, but they're worth the work and they're worth the effort that we put into them. So, and then the next thing people say is, but like, how do you even make friends as an adult? Like, we're not in these situations where we're just like around new people to make friends. So I want to ask you guys, how do you make friends as an adult? Where do we go? How do we begin? How do we take these relationships even then to the next level if we have the capacity for that?
For me, I just had to like come to the point where I realized like, okay, I'm just going to have to step out of my comfort zone mm-hmm. and make this happen. It's going to be uncomfortable. I remember even having this, excuse me, this revelation where I was like, just because it feels awkward doesn't mean I'm doing it wrong. Getting to know somebody in the beginning stages can be awkward. So I made this decision, okay, I'm going to force myself to try and connect with somebody new every week. So for me, that was at church, that was at the coffee shop I was working at. And it was just like somebody that stood out to me. I'm like, that they seem fun. I don't know. And then I would literally just go up to them and be like, hi, I'm Jess. Want to come over for dinner? And I like, honestly, I didn't know what to expect, because I expected them to be like, oh, wow, yeah, super busy. I'll let you know. You know, I expected it to be, it was weird, but I expected it to be even weirder, I think. But honestly, a lot of the time people were just so grateful to be pursued, and that took me off guard. That, mm-hmm. And they would be like, yes, when? Can I come? Yeah. And I realized that me stepping out was actually me giving a gift away, rather than before I thought like, I'm just begging these people to be my friend. Like, people, there's a lot of lonely people in the world. And I think something Amy's brought up before too, that's important, is if you see someone who has a bazillion friends already, they can look really attractive and like, I want to be their friend too. But oftentimes they're all full, like they have all their friends. Look for people that are on the outskirts, or look for people that, Amy says this all the time, that need a friend mm-hmm. and start there.
Yeah. That's the whole premise of chapter 8. Not to go straight back to it, but that's the whole premise of chapter 8, because that is something I went through, a stage of being really, really lonely, really, really lonely. And I remember telling my husband one day, I was like, if we moved right now, nobody would know. Like, I don't even know if anybody would know. I don't think anybody would care. Nobody would throw us a going away party. I don't even know who I would text. And I was so heartbroken by that, because I love people. I love people. And I was constantly trying to connect. It wasn't from lack of effort. I think I was just trying with the wrong people. I think I was trying with the wrong people. And I do think I was begging people, please like me, please choose me. And they just weren't. And I was getting hurt. And then, you know, the more you get hurt, the more you get, I guess we all take it on different ways. Some people get really bitter. Some people, I get really insecure. And so the more insecure you are, I mean, friendship's pretty hard if you don't know who you are or accept who you are, you know? Mm-hmm. If you don't know yourself, it's going to be really, really hard to know other people. It's going to be really hard. So I went through that stage and just kind of took inventory and was like, okay, Amy, you're trying to beg your way into a group. They're just not your people. You do not have to dislike them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to villainize them. Doesn't mean they're bad guys. These are just not your people. Stop begging your way. You're spending all your energy begging your way into that group. And I started asking myself, who else is on the outside? Who else is not being invited to these things? And I realized there was a new mom in town, but kids the same age as me, and everything else. And I started connecting with her and just reaching out to her. And she, I mean, we are like, I have the code to her house. Like, she keeps Diet Dr. Pepper in her house for me. Like, I take care of her cats when she's gone. Like, we are extremely close. And we are extremely close because I just started like, okay, maybe being on the outside is not such a bad thing because I have a pretty good view of who else needs a friend right now. You know, who has the capacity and the energy to give.
That's such good advice.
And I think that we all see those people without really noticing them. I think it's just interesting when we look at those people who are like, well, they're on the outside, but I'm not. Like, I'm fighting to get on the inside. And it's like, well, wait a second. Like, what if we create our own thing, own group? I tell people for like my best advice on this is put your phone down and look around. Like if you're going to a new spot, you're new in town and you're going to go to the gym or you're going to go to the same church class every single week or whatever, like look around. Like there's, if you're in a spot that you love, like the gym or a church, there's other people there who have like, that are like-minded. And so like look around and then start asking questions. And I always say like walking up and be like, hi, but it's also like, oh my gosh, cute shoes. Like start with a compliment because that tears down every wall. If someone tells me my shoes are cute, I'm like, oh, thank you. Oh my gosh. And so that just like creates conversation. And it's, I mean, everybody loves compliments.
I mean, that's how Justin and I became friends. I started with a compliment.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Start with a compliment. And then I always say too, get good at asking questions. Like I used to think that it was about me needing to be really interesting. And I was like in the thick of it with my little kids. So I was like, they're going to ask me about what I do with my life. And I'm going to be like, well, I change diapers a lot. I make snacks. Like I'm so boring. But it really isn't about that. It's about, it is such a gift to give someone to be fascinated with their life. To be like, what are you excited about? What are you passionate about? Just get good at compliments and get good at asking questions.
Beautiful friendship advice right there.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by
Hey, I want to break in real quick and tell you about two really exciting things. Number one, did you know or see that I started another podcast? This new podcast is called Moms at Work, and it is for the working mom that works inside and outside her home. It is for all moms, honestly, and it's just for us to have this conversation of breaking down expectations and shaking off guilt and all of these things. I'm going to give you tips and tools that I use in my own life as I work, and we're going to have guests that come on. These episodes are going to be short and sweet, 15 to 20 minutes max. If we have a guest, it'll most likely be broken into two episodes because really, as working moms, we don't have a ton of time and I want this to be really, really digestible. So you can find Moms at Work with Jeanette Tapley on any and every podcast player. And I would love for you to leave it a rating, review, and go ahead and follow it because, I mean, you're here with me now, so you're going to want to be with me over there. Trust me. The other thing I want to tell you about is we have a survey live for It's Time for Coffee podcast right now. And if you fill out the survey and do it to its completion, you are entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card that will be given to you on April 2nd, the fourth birthday of It's Time for Coffee. I cannot believe this podcast is turning four. I cannot believe that I've started another podcast, and I cannot wait to hear the advice that I need from you to make sure that this podcast continues to serve you really well. So please, please, please go take the survey. It's linked in the description below. It's super easy. I think it'll take you like at max 2 minutes. And with that 2 minutes, you have the possibility to win $100 to Amazon. Think of all the books you could buy. Oh my gosh, what a gift. It's a gift card for you. So, a couple things. Don't forget, be sure you're following Moms at Work podcast with Jeanette Tapley and go fill out that survey for me. Okay? All right, back to today's show. How did you guys work together to write this book? As friends, working together and writing together and using your creative talents, like was there any like push and pull? Was there any like struggles? What was it like writing together?
I think what we have is very unique because I think it could be very hard. Like you can have a really good friend and it not be a good idea to work together. But Amy and I work really, really well together. I'm an Enneagram 7. Amy's a 9. I'm married to a 9. I think that there's some easy mesh there. And honestly, it was kind of the best. Because when I would have a hard day, Amy would be on. And when she would have a hard day, I would be on. And we could kind of encourage each other through the whole process and having both of our perspectives for everything has been so good.
And I think it helps too. And like I said, I mean, I was pulled to Jess. There was this draw that God was like, no, this is the one. This is the person. Like, you should. I don't know. I can't explain it. And so I was like, I genuinely, with my heart, you will never convince me that Jess and I were not a case of this was just what was supposed to be. This was always what was supposed to come. And so just like Jess said, like, I have some very, very, very close friends that I love and adore that I could not work with. Dude, it would not, that ship, that friendship would sink. but Jess and I work very easily together. I think there's just like a shared respect between us and like a shared, like just some commonality of both of us. We're like really determined when we wrote this book not to get so distracted and so focused on writing the book that like our relationships crumbled. You know, we both, I think it was really important to each of us to keep first things first. And so like Jess every Friday has nacho night with her friends. And I know that and I respect it. I don't get mad at it. I respect it. You know, and she kind of offers me that same thing. And there's a lot of carrying each other back and forth. And I think it helps too that we've worked from the beginning. Like we've worked together. It's not like we had this long, long, long friendship and then we became business partners. We sort of worked from the beginning. So this is just what our relationship has always been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is, it's a good,
that's so good.
We're a good fit. I'm not gonna lie.
It's very good. We're a good fit. I don't know how could have, I like looking back, I'm like, I don't know how I could have done it by myself.
I denied it all the way.
And those are always the best partnerships. Yeah. Those are the ones where you're like, oh, I can never.
Yeah. No, I would have been like, hey, I didn't meet my deadlines because I was hiding in my couch cushions. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Because I got overwhelmed and needed to take a nap. That's exactly what it is.
I took a nap and then I realized
hello, nine. Wow, right
that
there.
Nap was not enough. So then I watched Netflix for 6 hours.
Have you watched the new season of Love Is Blind? Because I got overwhelmed last weekend.
I'm actually saving that for Jess.
Oh. Amy, I'm really sorry. Gosh! I may have.
I'm sorry! I did the same thing last time. I fast forwarded. I'm going to know some of the end things, but I have not watched all the drama without you.
You're alone.
I feel like now we are all forged in friendship and I get to be part of this group because I feel like this was a big deal for all of us. So welcome to the crew, Jeanette, right?
Yes, we had a really, you know what? We had a good run.
This book was great.
We had a good we so when we had already started we had already started like this page and our friendship. When we got together the second time to kind of choose an agent
and start talking,
that is when the pandemic happened. And we didn't see it. We saw it coming out of nowhere. Amy was a lot more like, Jess, this is bad. This is bad. And I was like, la, la, la. I'm an Enneagram 7. So I'm like, what? It's going to be fine. But anyways, the world started shutting down around us. And how we handled that situation was Love Is Blind season one. And a lot of chocolate from Trader Joe's. So
peanut butter cups.
So I just assumed that is, we were going to watch Love Is Blind 2 together. And now I
Well, me too, but I didn't watch it all.
Really? You were like, this is a good part and I'm going to fast forward it? You did not do that.
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, Amy, I'll send you my application for friendship. It'll be great.
We got an opening. We got
I love that so much. I love that as the Enneagram 7 and you're like, I just had to fast forward to know what was going to happen because I have to know if I'm going to be happy or sad later. And it's going to be happy.
A very real thing. I'll tell you what I do. If I feel like something is happening in the show I'm watching and it's going to get sad eventually, I will Google that and I will be like, does this get sad eventually? Because if it does, I'm out. So I want to know.
That's so funny. let's talk about seasonal friendships because friendships can be seasonal. And I think that's a really hard part for us to think about and to process that a friendship might not be ours forever. What advice do you have for people as they walk through the end of a friendship and the beginning of a new one? Because I think like romantic relationships, we can go through really hard breakups and then the next relationship either pays the price for that, or we have to like work on healing and stepping into that next relationship like healthier. So any thoughts or advice for seasonal friendships, breakups, and then restarting?
It is very hard, and that's okay. It is okay. I think that for whatever reason, like we learned that it's okay to have your heart broken when a like relationship ends. But when a friendship ends, we're just supposed to move on and carry on. And that's not the worst thing that could happen. But it hurts. And there is an amount of grief that takes place. Somebody who was in your life and important to your life is no longer there. There will be grief. There will be sadness. Yeah. And that's okay. That's okay because we can work through that. Mm-hmm. But I think you do. It's like this perfect kind of a balance of just like you said, like staying healthy and being really determined. Like this will not make me bitter. This will not make me untrusting. Yeah. This will not make me lose all of my faith in people. And this will not, I will not allow this. Because I think it's so interesting that one of the things people do is they've experienced a certain amount of hurt in their life. And so they're like, I don't want to feel that rejection again. I don't want to feel that loneliness again. So they build up all their walls and they do it to themselves. Like you are your own worst enemy here. Nobody can get in those walls. You've built them. You're scared of loneliness, but you're basically like assuring that you will be lonely. And so it's one where you have to say like, I will stay open. I will stay trusting. I'm going to stay true to myself. I'm also going to learn something from this. What can I learn? What can I learn? How can I hold on to the good parts of this friendship while recognizing that it wasn't meant to last forever? And, you know, there are a lot of ways to do that. I think, I love counseling, so I never think it's a bad idea to just go and talk to somebody. And a friendship breakup is not something that's too small to go and talk about with a professional. It's not. Yeah.
Amen. It's preach.
Not. Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's but very like good. It's journaling, very writing them a letter and never giving it to them can be very healing. And just realizing, kind of getting to a place where you're like, okay, God, well, thank you for what it was, even for a little while. Help me let it go. Help me let it go and realize that now you have time and you have space and energy for something new to come along. And that new thing is going to be beautiful too. It's going to be beautiful in its own way. So it's just a hard part of life. I mean, loss of any kind is the hardest part of life. And that goes for friendships as well.
For sure. I think a biggest part too is I want to remind us to not villainize that person. Because at one point we loved them. They were in our lives and we chose that. And I think sometimes we can look back at ex-boyfriends or anything like that and be like, they're the worst. And it's like, well, at some point we actually did really care for them. So there's a reason for that. And so I think as friendships end, it's easy for us just to be quick to like villainize, but how can we not build walls and how can we not villainize?
Well, I think something, and I just wrote it in a post the other day and I ended with friendship breakups will make you hurt, but they do not have to make you hate. And I think that's an important one, like see the good in that person. See the good because there was good in that friendship. And you might not see it now, but hopefully at least a couple of years down the road, when you think of them, you're like, that was a fun time in my life. I value those memories because the friendship ended, but those memories still exist. And those memories are still true. And those memories are still good and beautiful. And we can hold on to them.
The way you said that, like friendship breakups can make us hurt, but they don't have to make us hate. I think that is a perfect way. And to know that we can look back fondly, like just because it's no longer there, they're no longer in our life, doesn't make it a lesser relationship or anything like that.
So I think it's good too to go back and realize, like, if we think that we're perfect in every single relationship, we're mistaken. We mess up too.
Yes.
It's like, don't join the perfect
do not. So be confident enough in yourself that you can look back and go and reassess and go, okay, where was I wrong? What could I have done? What should I have done differently? You know, and have confidence to know, okay, I'm not going to blame myself. I'm not going to shame myself. I'm not going to carry this guilt around, but I am going to learn from it.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of maturity is being able to learn and realizing we're not perfect either. We're not perfect either.
Yeah.
So let's learn from this. Let's do better going forward.
For sure.
I think something that change my perspective just from like a God perspective is I had like a friendship that there wasn't really a breakup. It was just that we were moving apart and mm-hmm. I knew that. And I just felt like God spoke to me that my friendships are eternal. So that investment is not unto nothing. We're going to be together for eternity. And it's not just about the here and now. It's about the forever. And I don't know, that just, that really shifted my perspective.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. What is something that you guys learned? I call it keyboard counseling because we live our books and we write our books. And then so often God counsels us over the keyboard, like yet again. And it's like, I thought I went through this like in counseling already. Like, I don't want to live, I want to like hash this out again, God. But what was like a moment of keyboard counseling for you guys as you wrote this book?
Something that I was able to really recognize and see in the writing process is just how those small investments in your friendship, how they pay off. And to look back over friendships that used to be really awkward and uncomfortable, and how now it's definitely like walking into each other's house braless and with sweatpants on and opening up the fridge and grabbing a LaCroix. It just like re-encouraged me, I guess, in my life now that that time invested is worth it. And you don't, I heard once, you don't see, if you're trying to see what has changed just from yesterday, you're not going to see it. Like, you're not going to see the growth. But if you look back over a year, you're going to see the leaps and bounds and the things that have changed, the things that you wish for and dreamed about that you have, you are now realizing in your life. And I think it just really just gave me fuel to the fire again of that importance of making those little investments.
Yeah. I think I wrote, you know, there's a part in chapter 10 where I can't read it without crying. I just can't. I can't. And it's not a bad cry. It's not really even a sad cry. It's just a friendship that I miss. I miss it. I miss it. And I probably always will to some extent. Like, I really love that person. And, but even that, I think realizing that that can be healing and what a beautiful story it all is, because I would never change where I am now. I would never change where I am now. Mm-hmm. And if all of those heartbreaks and all those little disappointments and all those really tough lessons that I didn't want to learn at the time brought me here, then okay. It was all worth it. And it was just kind of a reminder. I think when you write a book, it's like, I've never sewn a quilt. Let me be honest. I've never sewn a quilt. But it's got to be a lot like that patchwork of like you lay down all the pieces and when you put them together and then you step back and you can see how it all comes together and how it's all this beautiful, messy, hard, complicated, wonderful thing. Life is complex and there's a lot to it. And I think that writing this book really helped me see that and appreciate it. And it also kind of confirmed more than ever it's people that matter. But I think like it confirmed to me now more than ever, like writing a book was a goal of mine that I never would have thought was possible. And I'm so grateful that I got the opportunity to do that. And I'm grateful that the book has done well. And that's all cool. But still, the best part of life is people. The best part of life are those connections you have with other and doing life with each other. And that was, this was just such a confirmation that like, all the other stuff is cool. I like it. But it's not the main thing. That is the side dish. That is the extra. Put first things first. And just really love people. People are they're the messiest part of life. And they're the most beautiful part of life. Like just to be curious about each other. And every connection that we have with each other, it matters. And it's significant. And it's worthwhile. And I think this book really kind of confirmed those feelings in me. Of just how much I really do value people. And the relationships shared between us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my pastor's wife, who's a dear, dear friend of mine. One of our favorite stories is she got locked out of her house one time and I was dropping her off at home, but she was locked out. Well, it was a season in my life where I had like scheduled nap days. How Enneagram 9 am I that I have a scheduled nap day? And I was like, well, you can come home with me, but it's nap day. So I'm going to go lay down and take a nap. why, looking back now, why I wasn't like, let's go grab lunch, let's go grab coffee, let's hang out. No, ma'am. I said, you can nap with me. And so, so she did. She like laid on in my bed with me and took a nap. And that's how and then her husband called and was like, oh, you can get in the house now. We're weird. Anyways, she texted me today because we're talking about some stuff. And she said, I just want to remind you that people are difficult, but they're also always worth it. And so it just, it's that reminder of like, man, I'm difficult. I'm a difficult person to love, but I hope that my people know and believe that I am worth it, and vice versa. Like, people are always going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Good. Friends that nap together.
Friends that nap together. I mean,
I've taken a nap on my friend Callie's couch before. She's the one that I was talking about that, like, she was the other one that I was like, okay, she's a new mom in town. That would be a really good place to invest. And we were very close now. And there are days where, like, our kids are playing or something. I'm like, Callie, I'm tired. I'm so tired. And she's like, take a nap. And I'm like, okay. I shall do that.
Permission.
And I take a nap on the couch. And it's great.
That's so funny. I love that. We've talked about that recently where I'm like, I don't know why we didn't like watch a show or anything. I was like, sorry, I've got to take a nap. That's what we're doing.
That's very cute.
Okay.
I love it.
We believe that there's a season for everything under the sun, a time for everything. Right now, it's time for coffee/Dr. Pepper. But what is it time for in your guys' lives right now?
Oh, man. I think right now I'm in a season of, well, coming out of the intensity that was launching this book, and then now dreaming and figuring out what to walk into in the future. It feels very much like one of those moments where I'm like, okay, what am I taking with me and what am I leaving behind in this next season, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
I am in a season where it's time for me to find a new business partner who will not watch Love is Blind without me.
Yes, Love is Blind.
I'm sorry.
Amy, I couldn't lie about it.
I appreciate your honesty. However, your actions are what they are.
I really just wish that, like, because I don't keep the video for, like, I don't repurpose this video or anything, so it's only audio. And I really, I might pull this on that video clip just of us all, like, because I really think that would be the best promo for this episode. I'm sorry, Jess, to throw you under that bus, but I think that it might be the best.
I own it. I am sorry.
No, obviously. For me, it is a season of kind of just what Jess said, because it's been crazy. Like, the book launch has been a lot, and it's been exciting, and it's been stressful, and it's been a lot. So for me, I think I'm in a season of, I want to just be with my family. I want to put them first in every way. No more like, hey, I can't come have lunch with you today because I'm doing interviews. No, I want to really like be there for my family fully. I mean, I've been there for them. My family's always first, but
yeah.
And I also, so I think part of that is just figuring out when to say no, and saying no is really hard for me because I feel like I'm disappointing people. But doing it and saying no to lots of things, saying no probably to most things, and then making my yeses really mean something, you know, making my yeses be like, oh, heck yes. Heck yes, fully, all the way, 1,000%, you know? And if it's not that, letting it be a no.
Yeah. Which is so hard. It's so hard, but it's so good because we protect our yeses. I think that's something we do in friendship. We protect our yeses in friendship. If we say yes to every single person, then we have that shallow friendship. So
yeah,
I think that's really good. You guys, thank you. Thank you for coming
on.
Thanks
for
hanging
us.
Out.
I'm glad we got to do this.
Oh my gosh, I have just been like giggling and smiling so hard since we interviewed. They are such great girls. I'm so thankful for their time. And if you're not already, be sure you go follow their account called Sister I Am With You. And then you can go to both of their personal accounts and follow them there. They're a pure delight. And I really just enjoyed having them on the show and talking about friendship together. It was just so much fun. So be sure you go thank them. Go follow them and go buy their book and share it with a friend. There's actually a study guide too, and it might make a really good book club. So go do all of those things. And don't forget, we have the It's Time for Coffee survey that's live right now. If you fill it out, you're entered to win a $100 gift card to Amazon. And that's just such a great gift. So please do that. Let me know how I can be serving you. And if you haven't already, go check out my new podcast called Moms at Work with Jeanette Tapley. It's a great show, and I know that you're going to love it. So let's hang out on all the things. Thanks for being here. I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thank you so much for joining us for coffee today. I'm so excited that you made time in your busy schedule to have coffee with me and my guest. If you want to connect on a deeper level, I hope that you will join our email community. The email community is a great way for us just to connect on a little bit deeper level. It's a place for us to email back and forth, to correspond about all things, and I hope that you will join us there. To make sure you never miss an episode, make sure you're following It's Time for Coffee podcast on your favorite podcast player. That way, each week when a new episode comes out, it'll pop right up in your queue and it'll be ready for you to listen to. And if you love today's episode, I would love for you to leave us a rating or review on your favorite player. You can just do that by hitting those stars or commenting about what you love about the episode. It makes my day, and I read every single one of them. And I love hearing how we can meet you right where you're at. So thanks for doing that. And if you haven't already, go do it for me. I would appreciate it. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.